The following show is for informational purposes only. Individual situations may vary, and the information should be relied upon only when coordinated with individual professional advice.
Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is your host, Frank Angelos. Our guest today, Bob Farrell, one of our partners and key members of our organization, and also is a partner over at Tamara Financial, Bob Farrell. Bob, welcome to the program. Great to see you as always.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
So, you know, I know everybody looks at 2020, and we're all sitting here going, it's like, I can't wait for this one to be done. You know, we've had an unbelievable year between the virus and everything else, and, you know, I'm sure you're hearing the same thing.
It's been a pretty remarkable year, and when somebody writes the history book on 2020, not only when it comes to socially, economically, environmentally, it's going to be pretty remarkable.
So, having said that, we're sitting here, it's November 5th, and we're kind of, you know, just, you know, doing a little recap on a few things and some insights for all of our listeners. We just went through the election, and we've been getting calls and people concerned, and they're saying, you know, what do you think? And, you know, it'll be some time, it appears, before we know what happened in the presidency.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, from a certification side, each state needs to certify the results. That ranges from as early as 2 weeks from now in a place like Louisiana to late December in other states. So the media will report a winner, but it has to be the state that certifies the winner. And based on what we've seen, I wouldn't be surprised if some of this is contested. And God willing, we have a president by inauguration date, but there's no certainty with that.
At the end of the day, we can't control that.
No.
So
absolutely out of our control.
What it does appear is that we are going to have a divided government, regardless of who the president is. You know, which is, you know, we're going to have, you know, where it appears we're going to have, you know, a Republican Senate. Mm-hmm. Congress will, you know, look like it'll continue to be, you know, Democrats.
Right.
And so one of the things that I know people, you know, were wondering is, you know, they talked about a wave of blue and so forth. And it's not a political statement, but one of the concerns for the markets was that what would things cost? And when they're thinking about that, they're looking at, you know, tax law changes, massive spending. And I think the benefit personally of kind of having a divided government, it's not that it's divided, is they got to work together.
And they need to find a way to work together. And I'm pretty confident McConnell will find a way to work. If it ultimately is Biden, and we don't know that today, I'm pretty confident McConnell will find a way to work with them. And I think it's healthy. I really do.
100%.
I think the market was genuinely concerned of a blue wave. Even though the blue wave might have some immediate impetus to the market, long term, based on some of the fiscal programs, could be problematic. And I think the fact that if we do have a Republican Senate, they're going to control the checkbook a little bit, which is a good thing. I think that's now manifested itself into the bond market. If for some reason you would have had a Democratic-controlled House, Senate, and presidency, we would have borrowed a lot more money. The yield curve would have steepened and bonds would have sold off. We see the exact opposite of that now. And that's telling us that they anticipate a Republican Senate and a Democratic president.
And we've seen, you know, up this week, and not that we look at things on a very short-term basis, but it appears that investors are getting some confidence in recognizing that, you know, at a core sense, the value of a stock is based upon their earnings. And so when there's more certainty around taxes, there's more certainty around costs and healthcare and things of that nature, they can plan and invest in their companies accordingly. And investors like that. And so we've seen a positive response from the markets, even though we say don't look at things on a one-day, two-day basis. But there is a little bit more of a sense of stability as far as on how people are feeling.
I think speaking to stability, the one thing that I always like to look at is the VIX index. And the VIX is a volatility index, which is kind of a measurement of where people anticipate equity markets to be annualized. And that spiked prior to the election, and rightfully so, because we had no idea the outcome. It's fallen back like 40% since the election. And if you take a look at it today, it's down even more, because I think more people are comforted that the election has gone through. Even though it's not definitive yet, we've hit that milestone. When it comes to returns, I think the interesting thing is, yes, the market has done very, very well, but I think that's somewhat of a generalization because financials are down. You know, people are concerned there's going to be more oversight in the financial services business, certain things that the Republicans repealed, that'll come back. pharmaceuticals, healthcare has done it remarkably well given the idea. So I think, bottom line to me, this really argues the value of a well-diversified portfolio.
So Bob, that's one of the things that I wanted to touch base on, which is, for most of the people that we advise, and by the way, there is a definite difference between speculating and investing. And for most of our listeners, I hope that they understand that we don't speculate. We're not guessing where things are going. That's not who we are.
I tell clients and contemporaries that if you want to speculate, that's why God invented TD Ameritrade. If you want to manage wealth, that's why God invented an advisor. And because they're very different.
Well said. And our whole thing is, part one is you need to have a plan. Mm-hmm. And then two is you have to have a plan that looks over your money over long periods of time, and that we don't do what I refer to as past track record investing, which was what was the flavor of the day yesterday. And then what we do is we would take that flavor of the day and say, what if I own this going forward? And next thing you know, we're always chasing our tail and we're always late to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You can never be a Monday morning quarterback in the financial services business. And when you sit down, having been in the business for 35 plus years, I find it interesting that everybody always talks about their gains. And people want to talk about the market when it's up. Nobody ever wants to talk about it when it's down.
Well, Bob, I remember when we were sitting here, it's approximately 6 months ago, and we were in March, and the market had the fastest sell-off that we had ever seen. And here we are, when we were saying is, relax, it's not how you start the year, it's how you finish the year. And here we are in November, and pretty much we've recovered from that.
Absolutely. And I think we've learned lessons by it. And it's, again, going back to how do you reallocate capital. Things have changed. I think the commercial real estate market has changed for a long period of time, and one needs to think about that. Real estate has changed. Energy potentially has changed. But that is why you have an advisor and talk about how the future looks. It's not a plug and play. You always reevaluate and argue for a well-diversified portfolio. As evidenced by, look at this year, the market itself is up. However, something like the NASDAQ that's up in the mid-30s% and the concentration of the five top capitalized stocks, you're talking about really five or six stocks that are driving these indices. Europe, which is more diverse, is down in the mid-20% this year. Small caps, large caps, small caps and mid caps are down somewhere between 5 and 10%. So the disparity of returns is pretty significant. And I think when people look at indices, they tend to think that their portfolio should be up that much. And really, we're not advocates, or certainly I'm not an advocate of single stock investing. That was my analogy to TD Ameritrade. But when the weighting of certain stocks concentrates so much of an index, that's exactly what you're looking at.
And I always say, you always get the pendulum effect, which is, stocks will go so far in one direction, but eventually then they'll come back and they always revert to their mean.
Yep.
And likewise, you see it to the other extreme. So when you look at an example of growth versus value, historically value has always outperformed, mm-hmm. over long periods of time. However, value has so underperformed that the premiums that they're at this point, as far as the discounting, is significant.
But no question, and we tell our clients all the time that you need to rebalance, and that's critical. Because value and growth disparity this year, you need to ensure that you have a consistent percentage of value and a consistent percentage of growth. So when value, and I would believe it will, mean revert over time, that you have the proper asset allocation toward that asset class, that you need to participate on the upside of that. Conversely, you don't want to get too overweighted in something that's up.
Exactly. And that's why, when we talk, with all of our listeners about, one is, we look at 2020 of what the world has looked like, and it's been a very interesting year. If I had hair, I might have pulled some out at that point. I don't. But, we've had a lot of different things that have occurred. But the reality is that when we're planning for people, we're not planning for a day.
No.
When we're sitting here, we're planning for 10, 20, 30 years. And in doing that, 2020 in the scheme of things is going to look like an interesting year, but it's going to be a very short period of time, and all this would have passed.
Yeah, I think that there are many people that were unfortunately around to experience 9/11 and the market impact in 9/11 and how long it would take to come back, or if it would ever come back. a lot of millennials never experienced that. They were alive, but they never really experienced that because they had no economic in the game. This was the first time people actually saw that had money invested as to a pretty significant downturn, and now how it has reverted back. Now, granted, not every asset class has reverted back, but I think it's a lesson going to be learned in 2000. God willing, this will never occur again, but I think it was a healthy lesson, a financial lesson for people that, truth be told, over the last 10 years have never experienced this, but you and I both know with our age that it's going to happen. The 100-year flood comes a lot quicker than every 100 years. And one of my concerns in the market in the last several years has been, it can't be this good. If we're going to get a 7% compounded return, which is a reasonable return for equities, it should look up 14 unchanged, up 18, down 2. You shouldn't be up 7, up 7, up 7. And the market kind of has delivered that to us. And I think it lulled people into a false sense of security with the potential volatility.
That's a great point. So while we're sitting here and we're having this conversation, you know, for all of our clients and our listeners and our community, you know, we're really got a very focused message for you. Message in part one in that would be is, you know, when you are planning, your planning is long term. It's not for a day, it's not for a month, it's not based upon 1 year. And we don't want to be reactionary, reacting to the headline of the news, because that never helps anybody. The second part of that is we want to maintain a level of liquidity. And so maybe Bob addressed the liquidity concern, because I remember back in March we were talking about this and we saw every asset class go down, and that was a liquidity issue.
It was no question of liquidity. And I think the Federal Reserve has done a remarkable job. I think one of the issues in March was that people tended to sell the most liquid asset in the world just to raise cash. And it could have been a reallocation, or it could have been a genuine, let's raise some cash because they're out of a job. And what that led to is basically sale of quality assets at depressed levels because there was no bid. The Federal Reserve has done a really good job of stabilizing that. Just to give our listeners appreciation, the Fed balance sheet is now $7.1 trillion. That has jumped from about $3 trillion from the illustrative side. Prior to 2008 in QE, it was $800 billion. The Federal Reserve has purchased every single mortgage in the market that has been issued in the last 4 months. The Federal Reserve is buying the majority of our U.S. government securities that we're auctioning every month. They are also took the unprecedented step now buying municipals and funds. And I think that has really, really stabilized the market, and rightfully so, because there was a temporary point where, and we saw it, we talked to our clients, that single-A corporate bonds were being valued at 80 cents on the dollar, not because people were concerned about their credit. It was, in a normal market, I would buy that bond at 92, and I'd be willing to sell that bond at 94. The events that we saw in March and April, the guy who wanted to buy it's like, I don't really want it, but if you want me to have it, I'll take it at 80. But by the way, if you want to buy it, you still got to buy it at 94. And that's what led to the revaluation, the mark-to-market. So I credit the Fed, I credit the Treasury for working hand-in-hand to do a really good job. You know, Powell and Mnuchin did a good job stabilizing the market. But liquidity is paramount. You need to, I think one of the lessons that people are going to learn, that having a certain amount of money sitting on the side in a checking account to manage day-to-day life is paramount. And whether that's 3 months or 6 months, but it needs to be there.
You know, I remember years back, you know, an old Malcolm Forbes quote, I'm not as concerned with the return on my money as the return of my money. And so having a level of liquidity, you know, because what we've seen in this year is, hey, we've been through a lockdown, we've been through different things. And when those things happen, making sure that we've got, whether it be 3 months, 6 months, or whatever the case might be, liquidity on hand that smooths out our cash flow when that occurs, makes all the difference in the world in our ability to stay with the investments that we have, and we're not selling them at inopportune times, as you just pointed out.
That's exactly right.
The second thing I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we highlight for all of our listeners is risk tolerance. It's very easy to get lured into more aggressive stance as we see the markets going up and we see interest rates at all-time lows, and we're seeking return. But the reality is, you know, and we've seen this, especially this year, the market doesn't always go up, and we can't get lured outside of our real risk tolerance or what are we comfortable dealing with. So, Bob, You know, you and I have spoke many times. There's a difference when we look at money and rate of return versus how much money we're talking about when it goes down.
Yeah. And I think that, again, it's going to argue a well-diversified portfolio. And it's going to talk about having assets and equities. It's going to have assets and bonds. And the current state of the bond market doesn't afford that much of a return. Yes, the Federal Reserve is committed to keeping rates low for the next year and a half or 2 years. But I want to emphasize that they're committed to keeping overnight rates low. They're not committed to keeping 30-year rates low. And that is extremely important. Because what could wind up happening is the closer we get to them starting to raise rates, and I believe they will, I think the economy will turn, and I think it is healthy to raise rates, you're going to have that ability to start investing in longer-term bonds at a higher rate. So the idea that people hear that, well, you get nothing out of the bond market, or rates are zero, or the Federal Reserve is going to keep rates of zero, they're keeping overnight rates of zero. I believe the curve over time will probably steepen out, and we'll see an opportunity for return.
Very good. And so the last thing that, you know, just, you know, I just wanted to make sure everybody, you know, really pays attention to is we've seen a lot of stuff on the, you know, from coming out from the media and so forth. And one of the key things that I'm going to say is we have to learn to avoid the hype, because it's easy to get caught up and we can get upset. We can get very anxious over things going on. And sometimes we got to just shut that down. Because, and again, our time horizons are not the day, and it's not the week, and it's not the month. It's 10, 20, 30 years.
I think that for people looking at it that way, and I think the majority of our clients do, I always use the analogy of a house. That if Zillow said your house is worth half of what it was worth, are you going to buy another house? Conversely, if it's saying it's worth 1.5 times you bought it, or because it went up, are you going to sell your house? It's something that's permanent. Because you live there. The majority of the monies that people have for term investing, it's permanent. And you can be reactive to reallocate. You can be reactive to talk to your advisor to potentially have more asset classes. But trying to time the market is very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. I will say that I think that if what occurred in the market was longer and it affected people, maybe you should think about your risk. The idea is, if that happened again, my wife might have to go back to work, or I have 2 children in college. I can't underwrite that risk. I think that's a really good opportune time to talk to your advisor and maybe reallocate, and you have a lesson learned. Now, fortunately, it has bounced back, but if it gave you that much angst, it's probably a good time to have a conversation.
Great insight. So for all of our listeners, here we are in November. It's been a crazy ride up till now. I know that at the end of the month we got Thanksgiving, and, you know, God bless you all. Have a wonderful and healthy, you know, Thanksgiving. And we're going to keep you up to date. So you've been with Frank Angelos, myself, and Bob Farrell. Bob, thank you so much for being with us.
As always. Always a pleasure.
And for all of our listeners, stay well, stay healthy, and we look forward to catching you next month.
Be well.
Advisors of the Institute of Responsible Wealth may be licensed for investment and insurance products. The Institute of Responsible Wealth is an educational division of CNA Financial Group. CNA Financial Group and its advisors are an agency or an agent of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America, New York, New York. Securities products and advisory services offered through Park Avenue Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Park Avenue Securities is a direct, wholly owned subsidiary of Guardian.
The Institute of Responsible Wealth and CNA Financial Group are not affiliates or subsidiaries of Park Avenue Securities or Guardian. Guardian, its subsidiaries, agents, and employees do not provide tax, legal, or accounting advice. Consult your tax, legal, or accounting professional regarding your individual situation.
Data and rates used were indicative of market conditions as of the date shown. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends are based on current market conditions and are subject to change without notice. References to specific securities, asset classes, and financial markets are for the illustrative purposes only and do not constitute a solicitation, offer, or recommendation to purchase or sell a security. All investments contain risk and may lose value. Diversification does not guarantee profit or protection against market loss. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results.
2020-111-827.